Welcome to worship this morning. Just making sure that's on. All right, great. And welcome to Palm Sunday. I hope you grabbed your palms. We're going to be using those at the end of the service. I didn't get it into the bulletin, but I'll give some instructions at the end of service. We'll be using our palms a little bit to say Hosanna. Well, just some announcements this morning. The newsletter's in there. Lots of information in there, so I won't go over all of that, but please take a look. Just want to remind the men that we're going to meet for breakfast at 7:30? What does it say? Now I can't remember. 7:30, good. All right, so we're going to meet at Hayfield 7:30. Then some are going to come to church after that, do some work. Some are going to maybe go over to the Ruritan and help with their chicken dinner. So again, a chance to get into our community so for that. But the rest of the stuff is in there. Council meeting, a thank you for the hospice breakfast. We do have, I believe, a thank you letter for them over in the office that we'll be passing out shortly. So that'll be good too. Lots of information in there, so take a look at that. Gives you also an opportunity to send out birthday cards and anniversary cards to people for our list, so that'd be great. So a couple other community announcements. Again, we're trying to be part of our community, so a couple things going on. One is they're having the Mountain Time Jesus Jam again this year. It's Saturday, May 13th. A great opportunity. It's up in Capon Bridge, Capon Bridge Volunteer Fire Department grounds. And this is a Christian event, so it's a good opportunity to get out with your community as they bring in some bluegrass bands and talk about Jesus with the people that you meet there. So that's Saturday, May 13th, 1 to 6, up in Capon Valley. And Capon Bridge, thank you, Capon Bridge. And I'll put that up on the bulletin board in the back. Also, the annual Orchid Show is April 7th and 8th down at the Museum of the Shenandoah Valley. There's a particular speaker, Zita Windsor, is going to be there at 3 o'clock. And Ruby says that's a really interesting slideshow she's got, presentation. So again, an opportunity to get out in the community. And when people ask you why you're there, you can say, because a friend from church told me. And there's your in right there to be sharing the idea of church and Christ with people and the glory of God. We can get those in there. All right, for prayer requests, we do have a few prayer requests this morning. So Ed's brother's daughter, Karen, passed away this past week unexpectedly. Her name was Karen Klein. So be praying for Ed Klein and his brother and that whole family as they deal with that passing. And Tim Pugh died this week. And so be praying for that family. Again, a couple of deaths here that we need to be lifting up to the Lord, that he would be comforter for them. Mary's brother's traveling to Massachusetts, or Mary and her brother are traveling to Massachusetts for their parents moving. So some of the ladies got to see Mary's parents' new house down on Hooks Mill Road, and they're going to be moving down here very shortly. They just sold their house. And so they're coming down on the 15th. They're moving on the 15th. All right, so that's a huge praise, but be praying for that whole thing. If you've ever moved, you know moving is not easy, all right? And so let's be praying that they will be gracious with one another for that whole period of time. We're giving praise. My son Seth just finished his training program or whatever and went through his interviews to be eligible to submit for assistant manager jobs where he works. And he applied for his first job and got selected. So he's now an assistant manager. And so that's a huge praise. And he's actually still in the same location he was, so he didn't have to move. So that's a huge praise for us. Is there anything else community-wise or prayer requests? Jeannie? Thank you for all the food. Yeah, so we were a little concerned that we shorted you on your amount of time to get that food in there, but if you saw the amount of food over there, it was great. We're going to be delivering that. Probably Harry and I will deliver that on Tuesday. So if you have something and you're coming to Bible study, you forgot to bring something, you can drop it off tomorrow or let me know and I can meet you here at the church and we can get that collected for Tuesday, probably early afternoon, I think is when they'll probably be over there. It's a real encouragement for me when I see you guys bring all that food in. Okay, great. All right, so yeah, just keep in touch with Patrick, and again, you know, another way to welcome Mary's parents. They've already said they're going to attend church here, so that's exciting too. And you know, and talk to Mary sometime about that. It's really exciting. Anything else? Okay, well, let's stand together on this Palm Sunday and hear the Lord's call to worship. The Lord calls us into his presence from Psalm 136. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that your steadfast love endures throughout all the ages, forever and ever. You have loved us from before the foundations of the earth were laid. And Lord, you have worked great and mighty acts. And one of those was to bring Jesus triumphantly into Jerusalem. And so we come to you in remembrance of that day, Lord, praising you and glorifying your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 54, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, as we lift up the name of our Lord. Number 54. Thank you. Maybe
glory, honor.
Thank you. May be seated. Sounds like maybe we just lost our organ, so we'll have to see if we blew a fuse. I don't know. We'll check that out after worship. So, anyhow, yeah, that's all right. We can sing with or without it. Well, our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 62, as the Lord prophesies the coming salvation. The coming of the Messiah to His people, Isaiah 62. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's on page 738 in your pew Bible. If you're following along in your own Bible, just find the Psalms, move to the right, you'll find Isaiah. Go towards the end of Isaiah 62, and you'll be able to follow along. I'm going to ask Joan to read this for us. Again, listen for the promise of the coming of the Messiah.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall be no more termed desolate. But you shall be called a delight. My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and the foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
You know, we are those people, right? The people redeemed of the Lord, the promise of the Messiah. He has come. And we're going to be looking at that from the book of Matthew later on as the Messiah arrives, a fulfillment of this prophecy and of the prophecy in Zechariah 9. And you can see that there is great rejoicing in the prophet here, right? As he thinks about what that means for God's people. And so hopefully your heart even now is being stirred to rejoice in your Savior. Well, as we go to prayer, we pray to a God who loves us, who promised from the beginning to save us and has sent his Son to do just that. And, you know, he says to us, come and ask boldly and see that I don't give you pour out even the storehouses of heaven on your prayers. So let's go. We've got lots to pray about this week. You know, I would just say as we go to prayer, whether it's tornadoes that seem to come out of nowhere and destroy homes and lives, whether it's the darkness of violence that enters a school and takes away lives, You know, these are all effects of the fall. Effects of the fall and effects of evil in the world that is always trying to bring chaos to God's creation. And yet the church has a chance now, as it always does in times of trial, to stand up and to proclaim what is good and what is right. And so we will we'll be praying for those that are suffering loss today, and we'll be praying for our enemies today, and we'll be praying that the Lord would work through the church to shine the light of the gospel into the chaos of the world. Let's pray. Lord, there is beauty in your word and promises galore there, Lord, where your majesty reigns, where your power is promised to descend on your earth and your creation and bring about all that is good. And we know that that's taking place. We can see it in the history of your people here in the scriptures. We see it in the history of your church. We see it even in the present, Lord, as your church proclaims the gospel in the world. But Lord, we also know that there is an enemy that has stood against you from the beginning. And so, Lord, we pray against your enemy and our enemy. And we pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel would shine into the darkness and chaos of the enemy's camp and scatter them. Lord, we would ask that you would continue to uphold your promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the onslaught of the gospel. And so we would ask, Lord, that the church's influence into the chaos of the world would be great. That the light of the gospel, as it shines out, would scatter the darkness, and that many would be brought into the kingdom, Lord, the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. And Lord, we would ask this for our enemies, that our enemies would be turned to brothers and sisters in Christ through the power of the gospel. What better way, Lord, to take care of the chaos, but to bring it into the kingdom restored and renewed and changed by the power of your Spirit. And so we would ask for that, Lord. In the meantime, Lord, we pray for those that are suffering the effects of the fall through tornadoes and damage and just chaos in their lives. Lord, we would pray that you would help the church to reach out into their communities and to be a real blessing, not in word only, but in word and deed. Let the church put its money where its mouth is and bind up the brokenhearted and build up those that have been destroyed. Lord, we would pray that the church would do that and that you would be glorified by it, that your name would be lifted up on high. Lord, we pray that the church would be a church that reaches out even to those that are so steadfastly against the church in a way that is tender-hearted and yet bold, is gracious and yet upholds the truth. And we pray that that combination, Lord, of both justice and mercy would have an effect on those that are against you and are against us. And we pray, Lord, that they would be, those acts of kindness would be like burning coals on their head, that they wouldn't be able to ignore, but they would have to answer, why are Christians so gracious? Lord, we know that your gospel will have an effect when it goes out, and so we pray that that would be true. We pray that we would have an opportunity, even in our community, to make that so here. Lord, work through us. And don't glorify us, but glorify yourself in us and through us, that people would call on the name of Jesus and be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's join our hearts together reciting the Lord's Prayer, as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 64. You may remain seated for this hymn. We're going to sing, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed?" Again, listen to these words, hear them and understand them, and know that Jesus Christ bled and died for your salvation out of a great love for you. Number 64. You saw in there that we don't turn and love Christ so that he'll love us, but because he already loves us. It's a debt that we have to him for being the one who loved us first. Well, as we come to the point in our service where we have a chance to make an offering, again, a sacrifice of your finances here, but don't forget that the Lord would love to have a portion of your time and your talents to serve the church and serve our community well. And so symbolically, we'll accept our offering this morning as the men come forward. Again, sometimes it's a tithe, sometimes it's a tithe of money, sometimes it's a tithe of time, sometimes it's a tithe of talents. And we do need those talents in the church. So men, please come forward and accept our offering. Thank you. Let's stand together for the doxology. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you've poured out on us this week, this last month, this last year. We thank you for the reminder of Palm Sunday that you brought your kingdom to earth so that we would be brought into the kingdom. We thank you for that. Accept, Lord, this small token of our love for you as an offering for you to use for your glory. We pray that it would be so in our community here and abroad. We pray, Lord, that we would be wise stewards of this as we seek to further your kingdom. Pour out your storehouses even more, Lord, so that we can share more with those around us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Well, as the choir's taking their seat, I just realized maybe I should give you a little heads up about next week. Sunday is Easter, okay? And so we'll have our sunrise service out front. The church, although if it's really windy, we'll do what we did last year and stand over here on the side out of the wind. But anyhow, 7 o'clock for sunrise service with some light refreshments to follow. And then you'll have a little break until Sunday school at 10. Then we'll have Sunday school at 10. Hopefully, maybe you grabbed the piece of paper over there. Oh, you know, if you didn't, maybe I should get somebody to go grab that after church. Just a lesson next week for Sunday school where we're going to, I want you to spend some time this week looking at some of the events leading up to Easter, and we'll talk about them in Sunday school next week, and then we'll have church at 11. So again, sunrise service at 7, and then we'll have Sunday school at 10. All right. Well, as we turn to our sermon today, we're in Matthew chapter 21. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 21. The Pew Bible page number is 981. If you're in your own Bible, just find the Gospels, the very first New Testament book, Matthew 21. We're going to read the first 11 verses. But I want to ask you this morning, what is it that gets you excited? Is there something that gets you excited, like maybe your birthday? Maybe the birthday doesn't get you excited. I don't know. Maybe it's Christmas. Maybe there's a certain time of year that you really get excited, springtime or summer. Maybe some of you get excited when winter comes. I'm not sure. Maybe for some of you, it's a sporting event, a football game where your favorite team is playing. Maybe it's something simpler like payday or date night, you know, where you get to go spend some special time with that special someone. Whatever it is, I'm sure, I'm convinced that we all know what it is like to be excited about something. Well, the question I have for us this morning is, are you excited about Palm Sunday? Are you excited that Easter is coming? We'll find out here in a minute. All right. You know, the last few days of the life of Jesus, they really are the climax of his earthly ministry. Right, Jesus has been moving here in the book of Matthew towards this triumphal entry since chapter 16, and now he's finally there. He's coming into Jerusalem, and Matthew wants us to get stirred up for Jesus. He wants us to get excited about his arrival. In fact, we're going to see Matthew says the whole city is stirred up for Jesus. Now, Jeannie mentioned this morning that not everybody was stirred up in the same way. It seems like even some were stirred up in two ways, right? At the beginning of the week, they're for Jesus. At the end of the week, they're against Jesus. And that's because some are only stirred up by Jesus. They're not stirred up for Jesus. There's a big difference there, right? Between being stirred up for Jesus and being stirred up by Jesus. And so since there's a big difference there, that's what I want us to look at this morning. Are you stirred up for Jesus? Not by Jesus, but stirred up for Jesus. Is your mind stirred up for Jesus? Is your heart stirred up for Jesus? And of course, if they are, is it causing you to tell others about Jesus? So let's pray that the Lord will open this piece of Scripture for us this morning. Again, it's a passage that we're pretty familiar with, but we want to see it afresh this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would stir our hearts so that we know who Jesus is, that our hearts and minds would be excited about who he is, and that we would be willing to tell others about who he is. We pray, Lord, that as we look at this familiar story, that we again would just be amazed at Jesus' willingness to turn his face to Jerusalem and come to establish the kingdom, knowing all that it would take in the week ahead of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read our passage. It's Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, I'm not going to talk about this in the sermon, but you know, it's probably best to see this whole getting of the donkey as something Jesus planned ahead for, right? I mean, he had been kind of putting his messiahship on the back burner, trying to keep it kind of under wraps, and I am going to talk about that. But at this point, when he's ready to go, he's like, he plans ahead, right? And he says, sets things up so the disciples are able to come in and get that donkey for him, and everything is ready to go. Well, are you stirred up by Jesus this morning? Is your mind stirred up for Jesus this morning? And what I mean by that is, are you convinced that Jesus is the Messiah? As you're sitting here this morning, are you convinced that Jesus is the Messiah? Because if you're not, it's going to be really hard to get stirred up for him. It's going to be really hard to get excited for him. You know, have you ever had someone throw you a surprise birthday party? One that, well, maybe wasn't quite a surprise. Maybe it was just almost a surprise. See, like whenever you hinted that you thought maybe your family was planning a surprise party for you, they brushed it off. But still, there were hints that maybe something was going to go down. And you kind of caught wind of it. You weren't sure, but you figured maybe something was going on. Right? For many people living in the city here, and for those arriving, they had seen Jesus perform miracles. They had heard of Jesus performing miracles. They had heard people asking the question, could this be the Messiah? There were hints of it in everything Jesus did. Right? In his birth, and in the way he lived, in the authority he had in his teaching, and in performing miracles. But like I said, his usual practice was to kind of put that aside, to keep his messiahship under wraps, kind of, right? At least as much as possible. He didn't want the people to take him by force and make him king. Because, of course, they were looking for a different kind of king than he would be, right? Anyhow, my point is this. The time had finally come, the time to announce to everyone that he is the Messiah. And so he prepares things. He's arriving in the city in a very specific way to fulfill this prophecy, but also so that everyone that would see him enter the city would finally know, see, he was the Messiah. We thought he was. He kept brushing us off, but we're 100% sure now that he's the Messiah. See, here he comes. It's like walking into that not-so-secret surprise party, right? I mean, you are surprised, but you knew something was going on. And you know, if you really weren't for the surprise party, you're really not that excited about it, are you? Right? You've got to be for Jesus. You've got to be for him. You've got to understand that he's the Messiah and what that means in order to get stirred up for him. When Jesus comes, he's fulfilling that prophecy we read in Isaiah 62. And also this other one I mentioned in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Easy one to remember, Zechariah 9, 9. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The faith of these people in Jesus as the Messiah is not a blind faith. Right? It's not a blind faith. It's grounded in the promises of God and the prophecies of the Old Testament and the prophetic announcement of what to look for right? And the authority and the power Jesus portrayed. Right? When he comes in announcing he's Messiah, they already have this inkling that he is. Right? It's a testimony. It's a declaration for them, and they get stirred up about it. They're stirred up about it. Their minds recognize the truth, and they rejoice over the arrival of the Messiah. I hope you're rejoicing this morning. I hope you're ready to rejoice over the arrival of the Messiah. But are you convinced that he is? Because if you're not, you're not going to rejoice. Are you convinced by the life of Christ, as described here in the Bible, that he is the Messiah? It's clear that he is. I hope you're convinced. And I hope that your mind is stirred up by what this means, that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem to establish his kingdom. These people were convinced through verifiable events that Jesus was the Messiah. But you know, it's not just their minds that are stirred up. We see their hearts are stirred up for Jesus too. You know, just like faith isn't blind faith, it's a rational faith. Faith isn't stoic. Right? Faith isn't stoic. It's meant to affect the emotions. Our faith should affect our emotions. It's meant to get us excited about who Jesus is and what he's doing. Now, I didn't use the word emotional on purpose. It affects our emotions, but I want to take you somewhere this morning, and some of you are going to be uncomfortable. I'm sorry. It's okay. But you know, no one wants to be emotional. At least I know a number of people that don't want to be emotional. But let me just share something with you. That term emotional, right, carries with it all this baggage, right, about being weepy or just being overwrought with some sort of emotion, not being in control. I was listening to an episode of Renewing Your Mind. It's a podcast put out by Ligonier Ministries. If you want to know where that is, I can help you find it. Anyway, on Friday's episode, they were describing a sermon by John Rogers. Where John Rogers, now this is a point in English history where at some points in history, you were allowed to have your English Bible in your own language, and at some points, you weren't, right? Because depending on who was in charge, you could have a Bible, you couldn't have a Bible. You could have a Bible, you couldn't have a Bible. Well, at this point in time, they could have their Bibles, but their Bibles were gathering dust on the shelves. And so John Rogers, in a very vivid way, was describing to the people, right, how God must feel. Now, he's taking some poetic license here, right? How God must feel that his word, right, the very mouth of God, as it was called back in the day, right, is just gathering dust. They have this privilege to read their Bible in their own language, and they're ignoring it. Well, it was a pretty moving sermon because this one young man, Thomas Goodwin, says after hearing the sermon, he was so overcome with the emotion of his neglect of the Bible, then when he went to get on his horse to ride back to Cambridge, he says he had to lay his head on the neck of his horse for about a half an hour just to collect himself enough to get on his horse and go home. Listen, sometimes your emotions will come out that way, and that's okay. But sometimes your emotions, to be emotional, could be to be excited, to be stirred up, to be overwrought with joy, right? So let's not let this idea of being emotional just take that one side. Let's use it on both sides. It's okay to let our emotions be stirred up by Palm Sunday, by Easter, by Christmas, by any Lord's Day, right? Any Lord's Day when we come to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It's joy and excitement. You know, watch any sports program, and you'll see people getting excited, even at a golf tournament, right? They're cheering and carrying on, yelling, get in the hole, whatever it is. Are we excited about Palm Sunday? Now, I'm not saying that we need to get our faces all painted and get our team jerseys on, right? And we don't have to wave or shout amen after every scripture verse. But if we are convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and that he came to save us, it should stir up our emotions at times. It should stir up our emotions at times. Now, that's going to look different for each of us, right? Not everyone is going to show their emotions in the same way. But I am convinced that the triumphant entry should move us. Right? It should move us. It should excite us. We should be encouraged that God would love us enough to fulfill his promise at a point in time to send his Messiah. It should move us to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his promise, his fulfilling of the promise to crush our enemy. Right? To crush our enemy. I mean, look at verses 8 and 9. It says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were excited about the arrival of the Messiah. Are you stirred up for Jesus? Not by Jesus, but for him. Is your mind stirred up for him? Is your heart stirred up for him? And if they are, does it cause you to share the news of Jesus to those around you? You know, in the last part of this passage, we find out that some people are asking, who is this? Verse 10, right? Who is this? Now, I want to expand that question a little bit just so you know what they're really asking is, who is this person who you are saying is the Messiah? Even the people in the city, as they come in, they recognize that the crowd with him is proclaiming Jesus is the Messiah. Say, who is this person that you're claiming is the Messiah? They're not convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. They want to know. Now, even they know that Jesus riding on a donkey is a messianic declaration, and they're stirred up by that. But stirred up here means to cause an uproar, cause great anxiety, to cause to tremble, or to have your mind agitated. We talked about that in Sunday school, right? The agitator of a washing machine. It's stirring up. It's doing all this work. And so some ask, who is this that you're saying is the Messiah? And the people answer very simply, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Right? Their answer is, the one that we know has been doing the miracles. The one that we know has been teaching with authority. The one that we've thought was the Messiah all along. It's him. And now he's proclaiming that he is. They're convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. Their emotions are stirred up. And so they told anyone that would ask, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah that God has promised. Well, why is this important this morning? Right? Why is this important for us this morning? See, Palm Sunday will never stir you up for Jesus unless you believe, unless you are convinced, unless you have faith to believe that he is the Messiah. And that's the point of Palm Sunday, right? To stir us up. To remind us again of the great wonder that Jesus would come and ride in humble, your King coming humbly in peace to bring salvation to us. It should stir us up, cause us to get excited, and remind us that we have the best news to share this week as Easter approaches. We have the best news to share with people around us as this Passion Week approaches. Like, lots of opportunities to speak about Jesus as Easter comes, because it's around us, right? We see Easter around us. The Son of David has come, and he is prepared to fulfill the promise to save us. That's our message. Well, I want you to grow a little bit this morning. Again, it's a brand new passage. I want you to see, I mean, it's an old passage, but I want you to see it afresh. I wonder if you've ever celebrated Palm Sunday as just a day that begins Passion Week. Right? Is Palm Sunday just a lead up to Easter, and Easter's the big deal? You know, or is Palm Sunday a big deal also? You know, as as the triumphant entry takes place, again, this is the announcement that Jesus is here. Right? Easter is about what he's going to do, but this is the announcement that the kingdom is here. The Messiah has come in to be Savior of the world. That's a significant aspect of his ministry, right? To be celebrated by his people. As we sang in that one hymn, did you see that? If they wouldn't have cried out, Jesus says, the rocks would cry out. I think in one of the other, I can't think if it's in which gospel, but where they say, tell your disciples or whatever, tell this crowd to be quiet. He says, if they wouldn't be praising me, the rocks would cry out themselves. Well, I hope that by seeing the significance of this announcement in its own context, not as a lead up to Easter, but as an announcement of his arrival, that it will help you to be excited. And not just today, but next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. As every Sunday we come into the Lord's presence to worship him because of the arrival of his Messiah. What is it that gets you excited? I hope it's more than just a big football game or Christmas. I hope that Palm Sunday and Easter and Christmas and every Lord's Day, the celebration of communion, all of those things would be things that would get you excited. You know, Jesus wasn't a Stoic. Right? Jesus wasn't a Stoic. He wasn't emotionally bankrupt. I don't know what's the word I want. But he wasn't a Stoic. He let his emotions show. Just a few chapters later here in Matthew 23, Jesus comes in, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her? You were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. This is where Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem, over their unbelief. Right? The triumphal entry into Jerusalem is a declaration for all time to all people that we could celebrate every Sunday. The Messiah is here. Right? He's here. He has arrived. And he's ready to accept all that would come to him, all that would turn to him, all that would repent. He's ready to spread his wings over you, right? To save you from the coming wrath of God. That's why he's here. Right? He comes to bring us peace. Not peace with the world, but peace with our Heavenly Father. Each person in this account is confronted with who Jesus is. They're all stirred up by him in some way. We're all confronted this morning with who Jesus is. And I hope we're all stirred up in one way this morning. My prayer is that you are confronted with Jesus this morning. And my prayer is that you're not just stirred up by him, but that you're stirred up for him this morning, and that causes you to rejoice. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would stir us up afresh this morning and every morning, Lord, with the knowledge that you have come. You've come to save us. You've come to establish your kingdom here and bring your kingdom to its conclusion, where we will reign for you with you forever. And we pray that we would be excited about that and excited to share that news with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, take your hymnal, and turn to 203 as we sing the hymn, Look to the Lamb of God, our Savior. 203. Let's stand together. want us to leave here this morning to go out into the world stirred up by the coming of the Messiah. So I'm going to ask you to grab your palm if you have it. I'm going to read three of the praises of the people here from Matthew 21. I'm just going to ask you to respond with the word Hosanna, and then we'll say Hosanna three times together at the end. All righty? Hosanna to the Son of David.
Hosanna.
Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna. Thank you. Hear the Lord's benediction. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct your way. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. His kingdom come. Amen.